We regularly speak with the charity Fight for Sight. Now, they are heavily involved in sight loss research amongst the scientific community. Now, there are all sorts of grants and awards up for offer. And today we are chatting about the Primer Fellowships. Now, to tell us more, we have with us Chief Executive of Fight for Sight, Michelle Acton. Thank you for joining us, Michelle.
Thank you very much.
So for our listeners who perhaps haven't heard of Fight for Sight, you do raise a lot of money for sight research. Is that your primary goal?
Yes, it is. I mean, we're the main charity in the UK that funds medical research with the aim of trying to stop sight loss and treat eye disease. And we're funding about 150 projects at over 40 different universities and hospitals. And we fund research which looks to address both common and rare eye diseases and conditions as well.
And being scientific research, you know, some of this can take years, if not decades, if it makes it to sort of clinical stages at all. And that's a lot of money we're talking here.
It is a lot of money. It takes millions and millions of pounds to get treatment all the way through from what we call bench to bedside. So from the scientist's laboratory all the way through to the clinic. And what we at Fight for Sight aim to do is to fund the early stage research, partly because not many other people are funding that. And that creates the pipeline of future research. So if you start at that early stage, one hopes that that research is successful and can then follow on down the pipeline to get through to the clinic.
Now, shortly, we're going to be speaking with one of the recipients of the Primer Fellowship. Tell me a bit more about that.
One of the things that we're clear about at Fight for Sight is that if we're going to stop sight loss, we really do need to attract the brightest and the best people to help us in our mission. And we want top-class scientists to undertake eye research, and we also want top-class doctors and others who treat patients to also undertake eye research. And these Primer Fellowship Awards are really designed to fund early career ophthalmologists and other eye health professionals to encourage them to embark on a career in research alongside seeing patients. And these awards, we worked in partnership with the Royal Society of Medicine and the Royal College of Ophthalmologists. And these are the first of these types of awards in our sector.
Is this the only way that you encourage people in the field? I imagine it's quite broad.
We're keen to attract talented people to eye research. We offer a range of different funding schemes that can attract clinicians. So we've just made the award to Dr. Marion Coleman, who's an orthoptist who undertakes research. And we've also made an award to Dr. Darren Ting, who's an ophthalmologist who undertakes research. But we're also funding scientists as well. So people who don't see patients, but are spending their time understanding about eye diseases and how they start and how they progress, but doing that through laboratory research. So all our funding schemes have at the heart of them that we are funding cutting-edge research, which will help us get us closer to being able to stop sight loss. But we recognise that those schemes also need to attract different people with different skills at different stages in their career to make sure that we really do maximise our chances of being able to deliver on our mission.
And we're also joined by one of the recipients of the Fight for Sight Fellowship, Dr. Marianne Coleman from the University of Surrey. Marianne, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me to be here.
So tell me a little bit, first of all, Marianne, about your line of work.
I'm an orthoptist. It basically means straight eyes. So I help people who are experiencing problems using their eyes together as a pair. So when our eyes aren't lining up properly, this can cause various different difficulties. So from seeing two things or losing your depth perception to sore eyes and headaches. And this can have quite the knock-on effect on your daily activities, like trying to read, if you're sort of doing fiddly hand-eye tasks, or even the way you walk. So that's the kind of stuff that I research.
What does this fellowship mean to someone like yourself?
when you're a junior researcher like myself, you're mainly employed to work on other people's research. So it can be quite hard to get funding to conduct your own research, even when you can make a good case for why it's important and can make a difference to people. And you're more likely to be successful in getting funding to do research if you can demonstrate that you've already been in charge of some major research projects. Research funding is quite limited, so funders want to be sure that it can go to somebody who can deliver a really high quality project. So basically the Primer Fellowship Award is, it's a really important stepping stone to becoming an independent researcher. You know, if you're a junior researcher getting that first bit of funding to be able to design and deliver your own research idea that you're passionate about is really important. Fight for Sight has a really great history of supporting junior researchers. I was very lucky to have completed my PhD with them. I learned a lot about how to design and deliver good quality clinical research. But the thing is, you need to continue developing your research skills after that. It doesn't stop when you finish your doctorate. It's kind of just the beginning, really. So that's kind of what the Primer Fellowship is about. It's a chance to push your own boundaries with your own research ideas and to kind of strike out on your own while having the right support and mentorship behind you, because we do a lot of exciting dementia research here at the University of Surrey that focuses on keeping people who have dementia in their own home for as long as possible. So in order to contribute to sort of a new dimension of that, the Fellowship Award is a fantastic opportunity to do so.
And with your career path, Marianne, what made you choose this particular type of work?
In terms of becoming an orthoptist, my uncle worked as an ophthalmologist for Eastbourne Hospital. He was visiting one day. I had a bunch of university prospectuses out trying to decide what I wanted to study. And I knew I wanted to do something that was quite sort of in depth, just bouncing around various areas of biology. And that was when he said, you know, have you thought about orthoptics? We never have enough orthoptists and the department can't function without them. You can't get much more in depth than that because, you know, everything is about the eyes and the brain. And it'll always be something that you'll be able to do. And so, you know, I did some work experience in that area and that was kind of that. You know, this was back in the days when your average orthoptist had a lab coat with pockets stuffed full of toys. So it was seemed like a really fun and varied profession. And it still is now, even more so because there's all these exciting extended roles that you can get involved in. And I got into research actually while I was doing my orthoptic training. So all the universities that teach orthoptics are very research active. So in my undergraduate training to be a clinical professional, I was really lucky to get the chance to not only volunteer for research studies, but also to help with doing some of the analysis for the research projects that were running in the department. It was very exciting. You sort of feel like you're on the cutting edge of good clinical practice. And that was what kind of gave me the bug, so to speak. And so when I qualified, I wanted to make sure that I was always doing what was the best thing for my patients. So I would read academic journals to find out what was new that could improve my practice, having, you know, had all of that while I was training. But the more I read, the more I realised that there were still a lot of unanswered questions about the things that we as clinicians do in our everyday work. And I wanted to find the answers to those questions. And that was what actually inspired me to go into research.
And what's exciting about your work, Marianne?
The fellowship project is covering quite uncharted territory. That's what's quite exciting about it. Fight for Sight aren't afraid to fund something that's a little bit different. And essentially, it's quite common knowledge that dementia does affect depth perception, which is kind of, you know, what I specialise in. But there's hardly any research on it. So I hope that the project will help us to find out a bit more about how depth perception is affected in dementia and whether monitoring depth perception over time could be a different way of looking at dementia and how the problem progresses, because only a few little studies have looked at how that's affected. And so hopefully we can find out a little bit more about it. And only a couple of places have looked at how people's pupil reactions change with dementia as well. So that's another exciting aspect of the project that's also new. And the kit that we measure to all of that, it just records a little video of the eyes, and it's quite non-invasive like all of the other tests that we're using. So we hope it'll work quite well. And people who are looking after somebody with dementia are always kind of worried about whether changes they see are an indicator of things getting on to the next stage. So if we do find some simple tests, like tests of depth perception, tests of pupil reactions and so on, that could potentially map onto changes in the brain, then it would be worth looking into in a bit more detail. So it's very much a sort of exploratory project in the hope of answering some of these questions that we don't know the answer to yet.
as you mentioned, Michelle, the primer fellowships, the PhD awards, all going to encourage more specialists into sight loss research. If we were to look at some of the projects then that Fight for Sight funds, that these clinicians may be working on, what sort of one or two would stand out for you?
Well, if we take the two for the primer fellowships that they're working on, Dr. Marion Coleman, and what her research is helping us to do is to develop eye testing guidelines for people with dementia. Dr. Darren Ting, who's an ophthalmologist, his research is helping us develop new and better treatments for corneal infections, particularly in the light of people developing resistance to certain antibiotics. But we have a wide range of different projects looking at help us understand different eye diseases. We want to know what causes macular degeneration, what causes glaucoma, and why do these conditions develop in some people and not in others. We've got big programs around trying to understand all of the genes involved in inherited eye diseases and also developing potential new treatments to address inherited eye diseases.
But the benefits, I suppose, to organisations like the NHS, saving them money on treatments, the benefits agency, helping people into work and so on, you know, it really is a small step on a much bigger road.
It really is. If you just take, for example, cataract surgery and how eye research has helped develop cataract surgery into what is now a very short outpatient procedure, very different to how people used to address cataracts many centuries ago. But you realise that with over 350,000 people a year in this country receiving cataract surgery, just how absolutely valuable eye research is.
Michelle, the funds which you distribute and award are fundraised by yourself as well. If people would like to learn more about the work of Fight for Sight or perhaps get involved in fundraising and so on, what's the best way to do that?
People can contact us by telephone on 0207 264 3900. That's 0207 264 3900. People can visit our website, which is fightforsight.org.uk, or we can be found on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Fight for Sight UK.
Follow a moment to Michelle Acton from Fight for Sight and Dr. Marianne Coleman. Thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.